First of all, I'd like to say that I listened back to last session, and for the beginning of it, I had my phone on speakerphone, and I was talking over you, Ion, for a couple times, and I just wanted to say,
yeah, we know. It's all right.
Now. Okay,
it's all right.
I just wanted to say that I
and it's okay, because then the response, you see, and sometimes that's mitigated, and sometimes it's not, but as long as it's not, the only reason that it even makes any difference at all is that you want to get every word and or in that response, because sometimes that saves lots of digging out of rabbit holes more times than not. But I think you pretty well saved the day. It was easy enough. No problem.
Okay, thank you. It was just specifically on that specific point on Excel. You had to say it four times, but honestly, I didn't hear you the first three. It was just
exactly,
the speakerphone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, because the delay in speaking it reduces the sound, so you can't hear a response. But this is all working, Jiggy. Your levels seem to be pretty good. So
great.
Good. What you got for askings today?
Well. I've been working a lot on the visual end of this triangulation. And
good.
I really see the way in which the future tangent relates to the AB line and the past tangent, and I feel like visually I can walk through it. And more I've been looking at the end, the math end of things and opening up old textbooks and looking online and going through the trigonometry and stuff like that. And now even the math side of it is interesting me. So it's really working out well because I'm getting now a synergy between interests on the visual and the math. So I'd like to, for this session, approach from a math perspective and from an equation perspective and go through in the way a text or a question would be worded in terms of the math end of it. So basically, start with my 3 points and my Maybank rate to use as the ratio, and go through from the perspective of a math calculation through the whole thing.
Okay.
Because right now, basically, this is where I'm at right now in terms of knowing the math behind. I know I've got the 3 points, A, B, C. And the first calculation I perform on the 3 points is the sine A, cos A, sine B, cos B. Now, those points I have to plot, correct? Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think there's just a delay.
No, there's no delay.
Oh, okay.
Ion's being cheeky for some reason.
No. We're sorry. Is there a question?
The question is basically, I'd like to go through the visual. I would like to go through the visuals via the math equation. So like just a true equation that's all math.
Okay, so...
That's not a question, Nelson. That's a statement of what you'd like to do.
How do I write down what I'm doing visually in a formula? That's a better question. Is it a better question?
Well, it was a great question until you got into the how. Because, see, let's just do it like this. Parentheses A, sine. Parentheses A, cosine. Open parentheses equals A, tan. Parentheses B, sine. Parentheses B, cosine, equals tan. Parentheses C, A sine. Parentheses C, A cosine. Close parentheses equals a plottable value.
Okay, yeah, more exactly.
Is that what you wanted as a formula?
Yeah, yeah, just something that I can then just plug in the values.
Yes. Yes,
and then now, as I read through this formula now, I can picture what I'm doing relative. I need AB. You see, that's the one thing I was realizing. I need to find what AB
well,
is
in order
graph.
To plot. You got values. You got to plot those values, you see. That's the thing. You got to plot the values because you're pulling sines and cosines, and you don't have an x-y-axis yet.
And exactly. And one of the first things, one of the questions I have is when you look up these trig problems when it comes to a triangle and you're trying to find the AB side, are these are the prices considered the angle? Like is ABC considered the angle? The prices are considered the angle.
Yes, because what you're trying. Well, now think about it. Now, I mean, don't you? This is your creation. See. So all is well, no harm, no problem here. But think about it. You've got an A angle in a triangulated position, and you're trying to find what A2 value in a future is.
Yes.
So that A2 would also be included in the big triangle, but it would also be the new top angle of the smaller triangle, which is your past tangent, you see, because you have the AB tangent, and then you've created the B1A1 tangent line, okay?
Yes.
Well, that's your spans. That's the linear progression of what you call time. Now, we say time is a false premise, but that doesn't mean that a false premise can't be tracked from a linear standpoint. Okay, just like operating a fractal in your GPS system, it hits 3 points and tells you where you are in perspective of in the triangle. And you get that, correct?
Yes.
Well, that's all you're doing, aren't you?
Yes, that is all you're
doing. Because those price changes are vibrational. Somebody can have flatulence and move the market. Do we not concur?
Yes.
Okay, so all you're trying to register is the shift in the wavelength of the vibration to accurately pinpoint a past, present, future experience of a bottom line price.
Uh-huh. Because
okay.
They're harmonizing.
So if you look at, if you've done your research, which you have, you could find a tetrad pulling from a tangent, and it would even connect those dots and kind of lay out for you what you're trying to find, your x y values when you do the negative sine cosine of your C parameter.
Uh huh.
And you get the sine and cosine waves from the values that you've already found that are on your AB tangent. And when you plot those wavelengths, the intersection between the sine and the cosine are points that you'd want to mark and get the plotted value of. Because you're already on a graph paper. So just set the perspective. Then you look and you go, okay, these marks are inside the triangle. That's very significant. These marks are outside of my original ABC triangle, so therefore they're not as significant. They're still vibration. They're just outside of your triangulated position.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and if none of them hit inside the triangle at all, then your variables are off. Or there may be, hey, you may come to a day like you could have run this same formula with say the Swiss franc, which ceased to be traded from a future experience. So in that particular range, don't buy a future value of a Swiss franc because they don't sell them anymore. You see?
Yes.
You see? So then that would even tell you if something's not going to be traded any longer.
If you do it way out, if you do the calculation.
Well, it doesn't have to. It could do it the day before if that be the case. But See, or introducing into a euro. There was a day when there wasn't a euro, and then all of a sudden the value of a euro was. That's inclusive in a linear perspective of time, but all you're doing is you're just using the, you're merging for the first time maybe, you're merging the linear aspect of the false premise of time, and you are adding the vibrational value of the a price itself. And then you're triangulating that within 3 points. Then you're bringing it back to a constant, which would be your Maybank figure. And then that sets the actual, all the variables are solved. So then all you're doing is calculating the new A in the smaller triangle, and you have the second tangent to pull from, but you also have the perspective of the values. Because, okay, in a circle, how many degrees are in a circle?
360.
Okay. If you're taking those angles just with a sine and cosine as a triangulated position that's moving about the circumference of a circus. Circus. Of a circus. That's right. 4X is a circus. So it's running around the circus. Okay. Now you can do that from the radius or you can do that from the degree. Either one works. Either one applies. So, therefore, it makes no difference from that side. Now, once you get your plottable points, then you've got to look at which ones intersect are found inside the triangle. And the ones inside the triangle, now you have an XY axis because you've pulled that from your value of C. Okay? And then you can know where your XY axis is. Then you'll know up or down. So up or down then affects your price of A to A2.
Yes, that's one thing that I was trying to figure out is basically the axis relative to the triangle.
Well, okay, if you don't know, you can set the axis at zero. Pull it.
Okay.
And
so
you can find from there. You can find from there, see? If it's a zero radius, then fine. It'll be pretty tight. It'll be a tight wavelength, won't it?
Yeah, it would be almost kind of too tight almost. It'd be nice if it was bigger.
Well, that's fine. But at the same time, once you get your line value, and we almost would say, now, for the idiots among you, we could say you could put the center of the triangle in the center of an XY axis. If you wanted to. But now, and here's why we don't say that. Now, wait now. Easy trigger, easy. The reason we don't say that is because it won't work every single time without fail or exception. But if it takes that to get you over the edge, then okay, fine. And we don't mind saying that as long as you know you master that process and then it's going to change.
Well, exactly. I just want to be able to start.
Well, but you're not yet. So that's why we're trying to get you someplace to begin, too. So you can. And we also said that it doesn't have to be an equilateral triangle. Remember? Because the set points of your triangle will be based on the price. But it's okay to draw an equilateral triangle so that the AB line segment is perpendicular to the world, straight up and down on your graph paper, just to make the visual easy for you. Because then your B1A1 line segment that's close to the A2 value you're trying to find, it would make them parallel within your graph paper. So when you count over, let's see, 30 days, 30 blocks, 1, 2, 3, and it just makes it easy to see. But once you get that picture, it's going to soften it for you because then you'll be able to just punch in the values. But until you know what you're doing, this is not a math that ever has been. See, even calculus doesn't lay this. Now, you can look on the Internet and you can find a sine and cosine wavelength of time. That's easy. It's a great big cylinder spinning around on the XY axis that are 45 degrees from each other. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about merging that 45-degree angle and putting it onto a flat linear span or a registration of what you call a, what do you call time that's passing?
History.
Yes. So actually all you're doing is giving the new coordinates of a historical event. We say that there is no past, there is no future, there's only now. So this now sets a predicated position that has to be definable, because if it's not definable, it could end. If it's not definable, it could end. So therefore, you could not be. Well, that's impossible. You are. Okay? Because otherwise you could go back before you were, which never was, and eliminate you from the equation. Remember the storyline or plot of It's a Wonderful Life? Oh, Mr. Bailey.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Well, you should see that. Everyone must
yeah,
be forced to watch that. He lost the money at the bank. The tyrant, credit, the bad guy, stole the money by mistake. The Bailey, Bill Bailey, savings and loan went under, and he was going to be killed or go to jail. He lost everybody's money, and the savings, Bailey's savings and loan was going bust. Well, then he got the angel to come and, or the angel in training, hadn't got his wings yet, to figure out to get him over this hump. And what the moral of the story was that he could take him back to when if he never had lived on this earth, what would the world be like? Because Mr. Bailey decided that the world was more horrible because he was in it.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel took him back and walked him through his life with him not in it. And it turned into Potterville instead of Baileyville, you see? That's the whole point of it, that the entire world was very different without him in it. Okay. So that might be a visual that might play with you a bit to get an ideology of what we're actually speaking about. It takes some of the dollar signs out of it, which can turn your head, because we've said this 100 ways to Sunday, don't confuse power with authority, and you get that, or we wouldn't be discussing it with you. We'd let you twirl in your own soup. But
can we add to that, don't confuse money with wealth?
Oh, absolutely. That's
okay.
Nelson already knows that.
Okay.
Hey, no. Because of his background, see, he's seen first rate. He's seen Grandma wield that wheel like a sword. So he gets that. Only very weak people do that.
Yeah.
You see, and yet it stings sometimes. But at the end of the day, you're kind of like going, well, you know, I'm not going to wait around to see what you give me. I'm going to get busy getting me happy, and I'd like to that to include you. But if not, I absolutely understand. I yield. Blah, blah, blah. It's Henry Syndrome 101. You know that. You've watched that all your life, so not so hard or difficult to calculate. So there we go. Now, as you get this
Ion. Let me just say, is that true, Nelson? You've watched that about Henry all your life, or you don't know what Ion's referring to?
I didn't know that you were directly saying Henry Syndrome as my brother, but that is the case. Like, his relationship with money is more jaded than mine in the context of it equaling wealth or it equaling what was the other word? Authority.
Well,
right.
Well, for him, validation of importance.
Yes, validation of importance. See, for me, it's not really that.
So
well,
Nelson,
it is
so
a little bit. It is
a little
bit,
bit
for you for
it
that
is a little bit.
Because it's not you want. It's he who has the most toys wins at the end of the game. So we get that. But that's all right. We don't have a problem with it, you see. That's the
so the point is, Ion, is that Nelson Jr. knew, he agrees with Ion, that Ion's right to say you know that about Henry Nelson.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
But we don't care what he thinks. We know. So it's all right. And because sometimes you might
I want
not
to know
that.
Whether Henry, I want to know whether Nelson understood what Ian was referring to and whether Nelson, you claim Nelson was already thinking that. And Nelson has just confirmed he has thought that thought about Henry.
Just like a day ago, I think I had a conversation with my mom about that.
Yeah, Linda notices. Linda notices it.
Yeah.
Well, but now Linda is coming from an all-compassion place.
Yes.
Okay. Now she can wield some tough love because she's been through the fire, but still, at the end of the day, she'd slit everybody's throat over her children. I mean, you get that. A much greater ally than any other family member's ever been.
Yes.
Well, you say yes, but you have no idea what that means yet.
No,
but you'll get
that
opportunity. It's all good. So, therefore, with love, compassion, and empathy, engage with your mother. Cause she's just trying to help. It's not her job sometimes, but she's just trying to help. So smile and say thank you and shut up, and you'll be all right. That was your free part. Didn't cost you a thing, Nelson. You're all right. All right. Now, so back to business. So now you see, from a quantum physics standpoint, applying a fractal into a triangle that has pointed set values. Okay. Now this is the cheater's way to get you the picture. This is not what you do every single time without fail or exception, but it's got to be someplace to start. Take up the biggest piece of graph paper you can find and divide it equally into four parts.
Okay.
Got it? Okay.
Got it.
The three values that you get for your currencies, if you're dealing with currencies, you could also do it with temperature. What a future temperature is going to be.
Really? Wow.
What do you mean, really?
Well, it's the application of this type of perspective utilizing the trig and the geometry is just remarkable.
It's not remarkable. It's vibrational. Everything is vibrational. Now you've got things that are running around that are faster than the speed of light. Well, if it's faster than the speed of the light, it can happen in your past. See? So if that's the case, all bets are off. So now vibration applies.
Yeah, because if the only thing that matters is what's going on now and you're external to time, then ultimately the future's just going to be on a vibrational rate of the same as what the past was.
Well, and we have proof of that. Do you know the Weather Channel?
Hey, let me just say this. The now is bigger than time.
Yes.
Well, there is. Time is a false premise. So it's easier. It's easy to do a linear calculation of a false premise. And that's easy. Okay. Do you know the Weather Channel?
Yes.
You know the Weather Channel. Okay. You get on when they have storm stories, and it's coming on tornado season. Okay, and they have tornado alleys and this, that, and the other. How is it every single time without fail or exception the tornado blows through the local trailer park?
I don't know. You're right. That happens all the time.
Every time. And certain trailers get pinpointed. Or it'll wipe out one house and leave another one with not even disturbing the pine straw around the shrubbery. And another one, there won't be two bricks to rub together. It's because of the vibrational frequency.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with how the mobile home is constructed.
And is that vibrational frequency, could you use the concept of magnetism? It attracts the thing?
No, it's not magnetism. Magnetism doesn't attract. Magnetism is the law that you use of why, from a degree of separation, why things are attracted.
Okay, so what we can't use the concept of attraction to explain why the wind hits the trailer.
Well, it doesn't work every time. You'd say
so what is it? So what is it? If it's not magnetic, what is this vibrational thing?
It's just frequency.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
Harmonic convergence.
Resonance of sounds?
It's not sounds. It's No. You did that. You tried this already, and it didn't work then.
So what? No, actually, sound worked.
Vibration.
No, but you were talking about a resonance of frequency. What is coming together? What? What's it made of?
Sine and cosine wavelengths.
Well, that's forms. That's platonic ideas, platonic archetypes.
No, it's not. Waves, when you have a pipe organ that makes sound, the sound doesn't come out like a water hose. It comes out and fills the space from vibrational frequencies. Now, if you hear it, you pick up whatever modality that frequency is presenting. That's not sound, but it's what you hear. Okay?
That's not sound, it's what you hear. I don't know
correct,
what that means. But
you can
we're back
make
to,
a vibration.
You made a sentence, and then you bring in vibrational frequencies.
Hear.
Hey, okay,
well,
Nelson,
are.
What's a vibrational frequency, Nelson? What are you getting from this?
What I'm getting is just because we perceive it as sound doesn't mean that that's the only type of vibration or force coming out.
Exactly, because there's lots of vibrations.
All right, so what is it? What's the sensory qualities involved?
There is no sensory. This is not
okay,
sensory.
So there, we got something. There's no sensory in the phrase.
No.
So,
that'd be like now, saying, okay, now, okay.
Hey, yeah, no, no, they don't need to go on. Let's just deal with the fact there's no sensory. So how could we experience it?
Well, you will, but then you'll have to.
So what is it that we're experiencing that's not in our senses? You might want to check that out, Nelson.
What you call the future. Otherwise, we'd have to.
So that's not a sensory. Well, if I experience the future, that's a sensory input.
Well,
and Nelson, do the squeezing on this.
Well, let him get a word in edgewise.
I am. Go ahead, Nelson. Squeeze it. I say, Nelson, you do not have a fucking clue what a vibrational frequency is.
Before you do that, Nelson, it would be like creating a formula to tell how you're going to feel when you make $1 million on a 20-minute trade. That'd be a formula. That would be the sensory perception of how you were going to feel when you accomplished that. Okay?
Uh-huh.
That's what Bob's talking about. Now, what do you
mean? Let's find out what you meant by that sentence. Don't rush ahead. You're saying something to do with feelings.
That's what you're asking if it's
so vibrational frequency is in the world of feelings. Maybe that's where we begin.
No, it is not.
Well, you just talked about how you would feel.
Well, I said, well, you've got to listen to what we're actually saying if you're ever.
Yeah, I'm listening, but it's just everybody distorts input, okay? So that you got to accept the fact. Just like it's taken 10,000 years.
You're going to interrupt. Got it. We understand that. Go ahead.
No, I'm not interrupting. I'm trying to get Nelson to ask these questions.
Well, that's
Nelson. He may not want to, but I'm suggesting he should find out what these words are saying.
Okay.
Like, okay, so far, Nelson, we have something to do with feeling, not senses, is what he seems to have said. Right, Nelson? No, keep your emotions out of this, Ion, whatever you're expressing. No, what is a feeling as opposed to a sense, as opposed to sound, Nelson?
A feeling is it? Well, I mean the concept of just being able to project and understand what a future feeling is. Like I can understand what I'm going to feel at that point, but I mean to accurately project it, I don't understand. You know what I mean?
No, Nelson, you say do you consider feelings part of your sensory experience?
Yes.
Okay, he's saying that what we're talking about, frequency of vibration, is not a sense. And then
that's
he said it was a feeling. But we think feelings are senses, so we got to make the distinction.
Didn't. No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Okay, good.
No.
I don't know what you said, Ian. Go ahead, try it again.
Okay, we said it would be as just if what you're saying, Bob, is the case, whatever mess you were babbling about, if we would say you'd have to create a formula, a new formula, so that Nelson could accurately, in the future, calculate how he feels if he makes $1 million on a 20-minute Forex trade, which
doesn't help us. What the fuck is a feeling? What is a vibrational thing if it's not sensory?
It's not sensory. It is a wavelength. It is
okay,
a
what's
wavelength.
That? Do we have to learn how to image things that aren't in our sensory experience when you're talking about them?
No. Well, if you did, you're screwed because you hadn't so far.
Okay, now, so you're saying words that we don't have to hear.
No. We're delineating between the difference between a wavelength of sound.
Which we're trying to find out what a wavelength of sound is if it's not sound.
Well, it's more of, there are more wavelengths than there are those heard by you.
And what are these wavelengths if they're not sensory?
Peaks. They're just peaks and troughs.
What are they if they're not sensory? You're talking about nothing. Nothing, if it's not sensory, it's nothing. Or, tell us how to experience nothing.
Very good.
The way, I guess, can you not just experience it in the now? You can just experience
what's the now? Keep it on sensory terms to find out if he's referring to something that's not sensory. He's claiming he's referring to something not sensory. Let's figure out how you could even experience that.
Well, you don't have to experience it. He's trying to tell what it's to be. He's trying to match up the frequency.
Okay, Nelson, if you don't want to know what anything's referring to, go ahead, ask the questions. Maybe it'll work.
What you're saying, Bob, is that I don't know.
I hear Ion saying every day that everything's a frequency of vibration, and we can never find out what the fuck he's referring to if it's not sensory.
Okay, it is just, okay, the Earth moving on an axis spins every day. Is that a feeling? Do you feel the Earth turning, Bob?
Maybe in sensory terms.
Well, what sensory terms? What the hell are you talking about?
Okay, so I don't feel the Earth turning. Okay, so if you say that, I don't feel the Earth turning.
Okay, and yet it is.
Right, but I would say that I am feeling it because I've got senses.
Well, how would you come by that knowing?
I don't know what you're referring about Earth turning, but I'm experiencing living, and someone told me the Earth turning is part of that, so I've got that image in my mind.
So that's causing a way. That's causing, if you put a point where you are, here we go. This is actually.
Yeah, but the here we go is a distraction. Can you? The point is, you cannot say what a frequency is. You cannot say it in 10, 15 words.
We don't have it. We haven't got to be able to get 10 words out yet. Without
yes, you have. You've got a lot of words, though. You're just saying a lot of words right now.
Okay, Bob, if you are standing.
So you can go ahead, Nelson.
Okay. Well, the way I'm perceiving the frequency based on this 4X trigonometry stuff is just basically the ebb and flow forces amongst all of the pairs.
That sounds
correct.
Like sensory stuff you're talking about.
But it's not.
But it's not. Because I don't have any way to measure that or see that or anything. Especially
if you pull a sine and a cosine of an XY off of a tangented axis, there should be the outcome, the answer, should not cause any emotional response or feeling place to you. It just is. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, if that converts into a passing of linear projection of time to tell you what a future angle will equal, then there might be a feeling, but that won't come from the vibration. The feeling comes from your engagement with the vibration. And the point we were trying to say before is just this. If you take a circle, let's take the Earth, and you take Bob, wherever Bob is, and let's say we get Bob to be still, okay? And we give Bob a string, okay? And as the world turns from an X and from a latitude and longitude level of wherever Bob is, and if you were to graph the world turning with Bob being still, holding the string of a latitude and longitude position, you would actually create a sine wavelength in forever. You got that, Nelson?
Yes. Now, the other end of the string is attached to a fixed point in space from this perspective.
Well, okay, maybe it's in maybe it's the never-ending string, okay? And the Bob, he doesn't feel a thing. The world's turning because somebody told him. That medium is the message. But the world's turning whether Bob knows it or not. And and he doesn't have to be cognizant of the notion that the earth is turning. Not only is it turning, it's taking a journey around the sun while it's turning. Okay? But Bob doesn't even have to know that. Now, if he's on the sunny side of earth, which lines up with the sunshine, he might feel the sun and say, oh, it's daytime. I know daytime. It happens most every day. And the sun feels nice today. And, oh, it's very pleasant. It warms the water. It makes the flowers bloom, blah, blah, blah. Now, he's in the middle of a vibration, and he can then, in that vibration, engage feelings. We're not saying that. But we're saying the vibration that is being tracked, that is Bob in his latitude and longitude position, does not subject anywhere a feeling place, like sound or sound wavelengths. Okay, well, some sound wavelengths beast can hear, like in a dog whistle, that humans cannot hear. So that doesn't make them any less sound wavelengths. They're just outside of the range that what you say the human ear can pick up or hear. Okay? Some people, when they hear a high pitch, it's uncomfortable to them, or a low pitch, it's uncomfortable to them.
Okay, now that's an interesting aspect.
That's when you add the feeling part.
If you think of the dog experiencing something we can't, and so if I ask Ion, is a frequency of vibration sensory, then I can understand Ion saying no, because it's not limited to the human pickup sensory apparatus,
right,
include others.
Right.
So then saying vibration is everything, that different species.
Yes.
But what is that everything, and what sense is it? Okay, if it's not, you can't use the word that's sense. It is experientiable.
Not necessarily, because you blow the dog whistle and the dogs start howling in two neighborhoods. The only experience you'll have is hearing the dogs howl. You won't experience the wavelength.
You won't experience the wavelength. So that's where tactility comes in the sense, as McLuhan defines tactility. It's not a sense. It's the interplay of the senses. It's this interplayness or frequency modulation that you mean by saying things are vibrational.
No. Okay. We don't care. Because
that was close. Anyways, that was close, Nelson. Go ahead, Nelson.
Okay. So the shift that we're talking about is the vibration. Okay. A tree is always growing. Okay. It grows. But you can't see a tree growing. You could sit there and watch for 20 years as a tree grows. But now as you don't look at a tree, you'll notice it in different spans of future experience, and you'll notice an increase in the tree.
Yeah, it's like you're saying that the frequency vibration is non-physical, and non-physical is physical. It's just not picked up by every sensing organism. It's not totally picked up.
That's the same way with... Nelson, that's the same way with this formula. This formula has always been.
Yes.
It's always been.
Would you say that the frequency and the rate that we're talking about, what would we use, the wavelength rate, is just a ripple effect of
phase.
Now?
No, it's the phase. You know phase.
Okay.
You know phase.
Yeah, from audio.
But it's the phase.
Okay.
You see?
Of everything.
Well, the
like
phase
of
whatever
of
the
now.
Whatever wave peak and trough and overlaying of that sine cosine that you're dealing with. Okay?
Okay.
And that's the reason we like it, is because it's something that even stupid people can do, because all you got to do is plug in the value of an X and Y and have a value and pull the sine and the cosine from it, and you'll get plottable points that then you can look from a geographic standpoint and say, these are inside the triangle, these are outside the triangle. The same way your cell phone tells you where you are geographically by pinging three towers and measuring the distance from that tower to you. And with three of them, it can, with great precision, tell you precisely where you are.
Now, how do I plot the triangle? Because each corner just has one point.
Correct.
Is that why having the four quadrants helps? Because you plot each one in a separate quadrant.
Well, it doesn't have to be in separate quadrants. You could draw the big, remember we told you, you get the biggest piece of paper you can find and put X, Y across the middle of it, and then plot your values. Every bit of it may be in the upper left-hand quadrant of that piece of paper. You could plot the actual values themselves.
Yeah.
So, and therefore, we also said that it doesn't always have to be an equilateral triangle. We were just doing that from the picture standpoint so you could get what the fuck Bob didn't get.
Uh-huh.
Here's what I got, Nelson. We are talking to non-physical right now. Non-physical is not within our sensory mechanism. So how can we actually hear ion?
Well, you do.
So it means that the non-physical is not the proper word. We're talking
we'll
to something
that
allows us to pick up what we can't normally do. Just think of this phenomenon. I presented this to me the first couple of days of when we first began.
Right.
How come you can hear non-physical?
Right.
How can I hear what can't be heard?
Because non-physical is utilizing something that we can experience.
Did you say realizing? Say that word again. What was non-physical doing?
Non-physical is utilizing something that we can experience.
Yeah.
Not exactly. No. That's what I'm saying. It's a bit nebulous because it won't work every single time. Here's what will work every single time. You, individually, you, Nelson, you, maybe for the first time, have actually engaged the thing you've had all along, which is your dog ears that can now hear the dog whistle. You are engaging your non-physical, okay? And once you do that, the more and more you'll find your world is changing right before your very lying eyes already. But even more so now, because as you allow the more of non-physical Nelson to merge with can't know nothing, can't figure out nothing Nelson, then once those merge together, then you become all-knowing Nelson. And then you don't even have
absolutely.
To calculate. You'll know.
Well.
Okay. But to get you there, first we got to tell you that the world is turning. First we got to figure out where you are, your latitude and longitude. First we got to convince you to be still. Then we got to hand you a piece of string. Then we got to not let you know where the other end of the string is. Then we've got to let you turn around on the world having no feeling or emotion. Just holding the string, feeling nothing, and causing the very wavelength that we're describing that is everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, if all we're doing is noticing and plotting a vibrational frequency, like we said in last reading, if you had a meter, they have electric meters that tells how much juice is flowing through a wire. If you had a vibration meter that you could touch to you and then go touch to the different cars at the car lot, whichever frequency matches you, that's the car to take home.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be done instantly. No lines, no waiting, no financing, no problem. Boom. Because it would be a vibrational match.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
And that's all we're doing here is plotting that future experience that is.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
It already is.
How many steps more do I have to learn or conceptualize for me to start being able to backtest this?
None.
Because right now, this is what I know, and this is what I know to go through. I know I've got the 3 points. Now, how I mark and graph and plot those 3 points, I don't understand because each point is just one of the axes, so it'll just be along one line.
No, wait, now. If you've got a graph paper, and if you divided it equally, and the price is $37, you would go, it'd be plus 37, okay? And it would most certainly be right on wherever that 37 would be on the x-axis. Or do you do y up and down, or do you do x up and down?
I do y to the sky, so y up and down.
Y, okay. So if you that's going to be your tangent line, your A. So on your y to the sky, you go up 32 and go dot.
Okay.
And that's one point. Okay. Now you got to go to B.
That's great.
And B is maybe the variance or the price could be a negative number. That can happen, can it not?
Yes, it could, but
not likely, but it certainly
flip.
Could. But that's our point. Is that the point is that it's not. It may not be an equilateral triangle. Is what we're trying to say.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
So, for example,
so,
if
but
I had
just
a triangle,
to see
just
it
for,
from a picture standpoint, it's okay to start there, but just don't put it in a box or limit it.
Okay. So right now, like I've got a triangle with 24 as A, 16 as B, and 32 okay. as C. Okay.
Got it.
All of those numbers would be plotted with on the y-axis with an x
no, it
value
wouldn't.
Of zero.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. Your c you would plot on your x-axis, and if it's the plus, you would go over 32.
Okay, that's huge. You just saying that is huge. Okay, c
because,
is plotted
because,
on
now
the
listen,
x-axis.
Listen, listen. Hey. Now you know why that is. You know why that is? Because if you'll look at it, you have your AB tangent. That's your A and B value. But then on the next tangent that you draw, it's B1, A1. So it's inverted. So if you invert X to Y, the Y would be on the linear right side of your tangent. You see? We're merging geometry and trigonometry. And that is a bit weird. But now, it even gets more fun.
But Ion, he got something. Now you're going forward with other stuff that he's trying to get, but he can't get it because he wants to absorb what he just got. Let's find out what he got. Restate it, Nelson.
Okay. What the key breakthrough is basically the C being on the x-axis allows me to now plot the triangle on the graph.
Of course.
And now the new tangent is going to be towards C.
Always.
No.
Yes. The new tangent would be A to B to, but it would be closer to C. And that's your linear passage or representing the linear passage of time.
Yes. So take you can what I've got drawn here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And see, that's why you have the little C. I mean, the little ABC, A2, B2, C2 triangle.
Would be
it's inside of the ABC triangle.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So
but now, wait
I've
a second.
This,
now, wait a second. Now, that's big
right.
boy picture stuff, but that's not always necessarily the case. Because if you remember, we said to plot it, and we never gave X and Y because that's geography, okay? So you can't get a value plottable that way. We say when you do the minus sine cosine of C from that perspective, that will set your X and Y. So in the future, not today, but in the future, once you get this, you'll be able to take any triangle, even if it's inverted from the start, okay? Because if your B value is plotted higher than your A value, the whole thing is inverted from the start. Do you get
yes.
that?
Yes. Oh, okay. That's why
so
you're
that's
using
that's why we
the,
were being nebulous as far as placing it. Yes.
Okay. So that's why when you're saying to use sin to the mm-hmm. negative 1 times mm-hmm. C, and then mm-hmm. and then cos to the negative 1 times c, and mm-hmm. that those results get where your x and y axes are actually plotted to begin with.
Exactly. Just like your cell phone hits a signal when you turn it on in order to ping three towers. You have to start with the signal. Now, that first signal is what you're using for your Maybank valuation. That's
okay,
is.
Repeat that. How to plot? Well,
okay.
how to?
When you,
this is
when
how
you turn,
not how to plot the axis,
it's
where
how
to place the axis.
Yes, that's exactly correct. That's correct. See, but now if you're talking about wavelengths, that has nothing to do with plotting anything. When you're talking about geometry, that has nothing to do with wavelengths. Okay.
Okay.
But when you marry the two with the with a with a pull a little hexad on it, and marry those two within a fractal, you get how a GPS can tell you where you are and where you want to go and how to get to where you want to go.
You could actually,
if you were really bright, you could make an app on your P-Pad to say if corn is $107, in 7 days it will be up or down $3.25.
Well, that's the end form. I'm going to try and do something on my phone.
But we got to get the picture so you see what you're ciphering, you see.
Yes, exactly.
You can make the chip body do anything, but you got to get the theocracy, bad word, but it'll work. The theocracy of that which you're using wavelengths to calculate for you in your stead.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, Nelson. He said he told you already have enough information. So find out what you already know and see if Ian's right. You already have enough to get it. Don't need to go any further.
No, I don't have. I can't take.
What don't you have?
Basically, I don't have the process in which right now I've got the three values and the Maybank rate. And I know I have to take the A value and the B value and go sine A, sine B, cos A, cos B. Well, first I have to plot the three values. Then I have to get the sine A, sine B, cos A, cos B, sine B. But at that point, I don't know how to take those values and actually graph them to get the waves.
Gotcha. A graphing calculator will show those wavelengths on an X and Y value. And if you don't know that, use the one we said. Just make the big piece of paper. Do it that way.
Okay, Ion, when he gets a graphing calculator, he'll need the Y, and the Y won't be there. That's when those people try to do that. They needed an X and Y, but you're saying there's no Y. Where's the Y?
We told him, we just told Nelson to do it on a great big piece of paper and draw it into four squares equal, and plot it and use those X and Y values.
But so let's say I have the answer to sine A, sine B, cos A, sine A, cos A, sine B, cos B. I've got those answers. What do I do with those answers?
Okay, now you'll look at those at the intersecting points of the sine and cosine wavelengths that are going from left to right, remember? Because they'll go in that direction if they're plus.
If I put into my graphing calculator in where you actually put in the Y1 in order to graph something, and I put in sin, let's just say 85, close bracket, and graph it, is just a straight horizontal line.
Good.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Because if I go, for example, if I go and I put...
are you doing radius or degree?
That's a good question. I must be... Shit.
If you're doing radius, then you got one more step to do. But if you're doing it in degree, you'll get a wavelength, and it will have an up, a peak, and a trough. Because what the sine of that value is the rotation from a circular pinpoint that's going around radius.
I'm looking for these to be a wave, correct?
Yes.
Like these should look like a sine wave.
Well, you'll have a sine and a cosine that'll overlap. And where
right now, that's not what I have. It just draws two horizontal lines.
Well, then you're kind of dead in the water, aren't you?
Yeah, why don't you recognize that, Ion? And let's begin with that. Instead of talking about what we could do, let's try to find out what is.
Any questions?
Yes. To perform the sine A, sine B calculation, I first just have to go sine times whatever the value of A would be. So let's say our triangle is 20, 36 for B and 40 or whatever, 40 for C. My first calculation is sine 20, cos 20, correct? So sine 20 equals 0.9129. do I just take that number and write it down, or do I have to graph sine 20?
Well, you would want to graph it, but that number will tell you, that number will, once you get good at this, that number will be enough, Nelson.
Okay.
But it's not right,
right
this
now,
moment. It's not right,
right
this
now,
moment.
Right now, I can't figure out
how. The reason
how
you're getting a flat line is you're not giving a y-axis.
Yeah,
you're giving
exactly.
X, but
it's
you're
just
not giving
the
one
y. Point.
And it actually is a wavelength, but it's graphing it from a linear standpoint, so it would appear to you as flat. But we're talking about wavelengths, which always are frequency of a peak and a trough. So
yeah,
because it's
so,
graphing it that way, it's graphing from a geometric standpoint of a wavelength being a future experience. Wavelength goes in a straight line according to a two-dimensional field. But indeed, it was able to give you a value of the radius of the frequency of the pitch of what the how many, how often or how fast rapidity that sine wave repeats. So it can't be
uh-huh.
a flat line, you see, because it wouldn't have a repeating value for the peak or the trough.
Why, when I put in sine X, does it make a nice wavelength?
Because that's what you're trying to calculate, is that aspect of X to Y from a sine wave.
Okay, so...
You'll have to look at a picture of sine and cosine. The problem with the way they experience, they take a cylinder, and they put X and Y at 45-degree angles. And then you pick a point, and then the triangle moves up and down that radius, and it makes a wiggly line up and down, up and down. And what the sine and cosine is the rapidity of the repeating of the frequency
uh-huh.
of the peak and the trough of going up and down a cylinder progressive pathway. And you'll get that. You'll be able to merge those at the 45-degree angle to the point that all you're interested in, Nelson, is when the sine and the cosine wavelengths intersect.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, how do I find that base without graphing it in the graphing calculator? Because I don't know what's going on there. So, like, if I just
we have
go
no
sine...
idea. Draw it. Draw it. Draw it. That's all I can tell you is draw it. But you should... You have... draw it. If you can't get your graphing calculator to do it, draw it. Figure out
okay,
how to
so
set a wavelength and plot it from a just like an EKG does a sinus rhythm on your heart rate, and it goes bip 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 bip, and however how fast your heart rate is, it goes bip 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 bip. Those peaks and troughs are going to be closer than a bip bip.
Okay. So can
bip,
you see
sinus
the
rhythm
on my calculator now? Do you know where I'm at
Sorry?
In my calculator now? Do you know where I'm at in my calculator now? You see, like...
You don't either.
Like, right now, I'm at the fields where you put your inputs in for Y.
Okay, Y to the sky. What's the value of Y?
Y is going to equal sine A.
No, 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 no. Y is not going to equal sine A. You have to give Y the value of your coinage or what you're selling or trading.
Oh, okay. But that's
yeah.
But right now
that's what
working.
It was. Okay. Now, can we tell you one thing that you can take a note and not blow your brains out in the interim time?
Yeah.
Okay. Now this will ease it up when we said it's going to change once you get the pictorial. Okay, here's where it's going to get fun. You will be able to in a future experience. If you're taking two currencies and the differential between them, you can take, let's say, a dollar, and it has a value. You can use that as your X, and then the yen is the Y, and it can be your Y-axis. And then the differential if you're selling one to the other, and then pull sine and cosines from there. But as you get it, that's going to add a lot more of ciphering, okay,
uh-huh.
which will become handy once upon a midnight dreary, but just not quite yet because you're still trying to get the the linear aspect. But once you come to that place, it's going to be key soon, because then you can calculate exactly what the weather will be next June.
And when do I actually, like, for example, when do I use the Maybank rate as the ratio? With what spits out that answer?
Fine. Okay. When you get sine cosine A, sine cosine B, minus sine minus cosine of C, and you get all that laid out, and those values are plotted of the intersecting points, okay, then everything inside the triangle, if there are more than one, you multiply them times each other, divide by the number of intersections in tandem, and then you take and make that over the Maybank rate. The Maybank rate sets that, and you got to just do a forward slash, and then make that be Maybank phase.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what you're saying, and
we'll pull
that.
A phase. So what you're actually doing is you're taking the tangent in your formulation and setting it in a constant. Okay. That would make the Maybank rate. So you can get this. The Maybank rate would be where you are geographically that your cell phone pings the three towers to project exactly where you are.
Okay.
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 Because
Maybank
otherwise you could pick yen, frozen orange juice concentrate, and the barometric pressure of Singapore.
And
triangulate that. See, there's no limitation. There is no limitation here, but you would want to have the full Monty experience to pull those types of values in order for this to be successful. But once you get it, then anything can be triangulated, of course.
The answer is going to be a future price of
A.
A future price of A within the Maybank rates time period that you picked.
That's correct.
Okay. So,
but that's just the beginning place, because now that may change, but it makes no difference. It won't change the vibration from yesterday's value.
Okay, it may change, but it only needs to be accurate for the day of calculation.
That's exactly right, because once a vibration is set, it is. You can't change a vibration. That's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah.
Because you can't change it. But you can shift and re-triangulate from a future place.
I was
lost, but now I'm found. Okay, fine.
Could we go through an example of the whole process with a triangle that's based on just, like, arbitrary numbers? Or do I have to pick prices from currency pairs?
No, right. You can just say A, B, C. You can
do
that.
Because I'd like to go through it. Like, I want to be able to do this, I mean, now. But I just need to get over some of the...
Well, you can. Here's what you do. You can take what you know so far and play with it. And just put the values. But see, until you have something to base the values by, you're not going to know if your future value is the same. But if you're trying to prove that in 10 days or 20 days that A is still A2 is still going to be 10, you might can do that. But likely 10 is still going to be 10 in 20 days, isn't it?
Yes, because it's based on nothing.
Got it. That's the point. There you go.
Don't go on. Let's find out if he knows what he got. What'd you get, Nelson? He said, you got it. Now, what did you get, Nelson?
I got that are numbers that do not relate to each other aren't going to work on any type of wavelength, so the future answer is going to be the same that what is what I got from that. Because if we took a triangle and labeled A as like 15, labeled B as like 24, and labeled C as 32, the answer A should just remain what it was at the beginning, because the other two haven't changed and there's no harmonic rate to the whole problem.
Well, there is a harmonic rate, but it would validate that the future experience is identical to the past experience.
Okay.
So,
yes.
So you may have got, well, you didn't get it, and he told you what, he corrected you, so now what did you get, Nelson?
Just added to.
I had no clue what you're talking about, but
we know.
I'm not here, it's not here to understand me, but how's it going, Nelson?
I want to work through one from start to finish.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if we can use just arbitrary numbers just for the sake of calculation, so I don't have to grab. Actually, we could go
okay.
back and we could just use the same points that we originally had.
Okay.
So because I just want to be able to get through one based
Good.
On the math perspective versus the visual perspective
Good.
Of just
now,
drawing
what you, well, but now, wait. That's beautiful. However, until you thoroughly get the visual, you're merging two things that are not. Okay? You're merging two things that are not. So you want to really get the visual before you start just running through the calculations, because it won't serve you. It won't serve you. But so let's, before you go through that, you can go through that to see if you're, what you're thinking is correct, and then you've got eternity to play with it. You see, you can
well,
play
I
with
wouldn't
it.
Say that.
He doesn't want eternity. Now,
I
maybe he should. He should get into doing it for eternal, because if you want it now, you're not going to get it. But he wants it now, and that's the issue I'm on.
Can, fine, ask. Go
well,
ahead.
There's no
way. Again.
I don't feel. I think that it's. There's no. This isn't a simple.
It is simple. I've made billions doing it.
Well then, Bob, why don't you tell me how you're doing it?
I keep it to myself.
Here's, we can answer. No,
well,
no, no. We'll take this one. We'll take this one, Bob. Here's why, Nelson. Because you know what that would say vibrationally? It would say that Bob is more powerful than you. And we'd stomp that like a cockroach, because the point of this is for you to come into your power, not use Bob's. Okay? Bless Bob. All hail Bob. It's his civilization. That's wonderful. We support that. No problem. But what we're trying to get is you into yours. So,
yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the issue. And there you go. And you can plot that with the formula that you have right now to tell from a linear space of time when you'll figure the damn thing out. Your phone can take you from your house to downtown New York City right now, and you don't know how it does that, but you trust the sumbitch to take you there, do you not?
Yeah.
If it took you to Boston, you might second-guess it, mightn't you?
So how... Okay, so I've got the 3 points in the Maybank rate.
Yep.
Now, I know you say it's simple, but maybe there's some few things that just haven't clicked yet, so just...
That's fine. That's why the visual is important. So if you want... Here's what we'll do if you want to. We'll let you go through the process, all right? And
please.
If you don't mind... We may have little things for you to say as you're working through it, and you just carry right along, okay?
That would be fantastic.
And then when you re-listen to it and you're playing with it, you can go, oh, yeah, right, I forgot that. Yeah, that's this. Okay, got it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this is what I've done. I've written my coordinates for A, B, and C down. Now I need to go sine A.
No.
Which is?
You're not ready yet. You got to establish it in a geographic representation on a graph, piece of paper. Okay, and
okay,
plot those values.
Yeah.
Plot those values on your A, B, the A and the B. Plot those values on your graph, wherever that is.
Okay, so plot A, B along the y-axis.
No. Plot A and plot B on the y-axis.
Okay.
You got to create the triangle first so you can see which points intersect inside the triangle.
Yes, exactly.
See?
And then plot C.
to add on the x-axis.
Okay.
Just to be easy. Because we know there's issues with that, but just so you get this portion, okay, fine.
Yes, once I get this, I can come back and use cos to negative 1, whatever, down the
line.
That's
right. That's right. But now look what you've done now. Now you've created, and if the C is always going to be to the right of the AB or Y axis, okay, for what you're working through right here, it'll always go to the right. But now that's not necessarily always the case. But it is right now, so just don't make a limitation by it. So go ahead.
Okay. And then once I have those plotted, I need the sine and cosine values of A and B.
Of A individually,
yes.
And those values and the intersecting points of that frequency repetition, phase, if you will.
Okay.
That's
so like, for
that's
example,
the value it's giving you is the phase. Is it not?
So right now I start by going sine 0.9628, which equals 0.82008. I just need 4 decimal points, correct?
Well, as many, the more you got, the more accurate it is.
Okay, so 0.820794 is sine A. Now
good.
I do cos A. Equals 0.571224.
Aha! See, now you have two different sets of ways that are also going to intersect. Now here's where you'd want to graph that sine and cosine, and graph where they intersect on your graph.
Okay. Now when
and
you
the ones
say
you gotta,
this
you,
number,
you, okay.
This one number, 0.820794,
that's
you're saying
phase.
should be a phase rate.
It is a phase rate. It's the peak and
okay.
the trough. How close or far out the peaks and troughs are.
Okay, and what sets the x-axis?
You've already set that when you did C.
I mean, what determines the distance between the peak and the trough?
Well, that makes no difference. That'll be set by the frequency.
Okay.
Because if it's a tight frequency, it's going to be long. The peaks are going to be high and the troughs are going to be low. But if it's very close, it's going to be a shorter vibrational frequency.
Okay.
See? But it's a great question because it does bring up the point of every dynamic that you're going to bump into. So it's very valid. It's just the phase is what you're trying to encapsulate. Because actually, see, Nelson, what you're trying to actually attribute here are the points geographically on the graph where the sine and the cosine points intersect.
Yes, exactly.
When you lay them over each other, they're going to be dot, 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 dot that intersect. Well, those dots, ever how many times it intersects between the first tangent and the second tangent, that's a number you're going to want, okay? And then you look at every time that they intersect inside the ABC triangle, aha, even better. Now you're seeing those are the ones that you multiply times themselves. Then you divide by the number of dots between the two tangents or spans of time.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
Oh, we're so excited. This is getting so much fun. We're about to bubble over.
Well, what about Nelson? That's you. How's it working for
you?
Are you getting it, Nelson?
I'm getting it. I'd be a lot happier if I knew how to get this graph calculator. I got to work on the graphing.
That's
right now,
buddy.
I can't get the intersection points.
Okay.
Right?
Well,
right now,
it'll overlay. You could plot the frequency of a peak and trough and do a model and spin it out and then have that graph.
Oh, you're right. I could.
Sure.
I could just plot it like that.
Well, exactly.
Oh, I just need to basically space these out equidistant to
yes,
each other. As long as
But we have
so
to
as
get
long
the
as
visual.
The wavelength vibrates at the same rate with each other, I'll know where they intersect.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay,
you just
got to
figure out the
step.
One, and then it'll repeat.
Okay. So, like,
good.
The sine A will be 0.820794 away at the peak
uh-huh.
from
uh-huh.
the x-axis along
that's
the
correct.
Y-axis.
That is correct.
It will
Okay. And typically from a cylinder,
okay.
see, those are the x and the y are 45 degrees apart. But you've
okay.
got to merge those for the value of where they intersect exactly, because you're converting this particular vibration into a flat, linear projection of the false premise of time.
Yes. Okay. So
good.
That's great. Okay, I got that now. Okay. So now, do I ever need to find AB? How do I find AB? Line AB.
What you're trying to find is what A is going to be.
Okay, so I don't need to find the distance of AB.
Never. No,
I
no, no.
I need to know what A2 is.
You're trying to find what A is to be. A2. A.
Yay, 2.
A
yes,
from A to A2. That's all you want to know.
Now,
A's got to be a given. If A is a variable, you're kind of screwed.
Yes. The B1, A1 line intersects directly through A2 and B2. Like A2 is along AC and B2 is along BC.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Now the reason
right.
now that's significant. Now you're getting somewhere, and where you've asked the question, the whole point is you've taken a large piece of triangulation, all right? And now you've created yet another triangle, which is tiny. So if you can find out what A is originally, which you had to do, then when you can pinpoint into an A2 angle, you can be so precise, because the exact same thing can be done future from your A2 axis again.
Yes,
you see,
A2.
You could draw a third tangent and make it
A.
tiny, tiny, tiny.
Yeah, A2 is a future A.
That's great. But
and
you could also figure in A3 as well.
Okay, it can leapfrog on each other.
Yeah. Now think about that now from the 4X. Now, how fucking cool would it be if a dollar is a dollar at A, and a dollar is a dollar and a quarter at A2, and a dollar is 75 cents at A3? You talk about interstellar day trading. By God, if that won't put some lead in your pencil, then your Peters run out.
Oh, you're right. You could base the tangent distance, so the spans. You could base the spans on quarter day increments and see
Absolutely.
Where the turns are intraday.
Ian, why are you dangling? Ian, why are you dangling that
carrot? 15, sell at 12 o'clock, and rebuy at 1:15 and retire.
Why are you dangling that carrot before him?
That's
going to make
dangling.
His life more complicated. Screw
no,
him up.
No,
oh yeah, you're dangling. Look, forget about doing that. Enjoy the huge now, Nelson. That's what Ion's always emphasizing.
You're saying, yeah. Forget about focusing intraday. Just focus on larger trades. Like,
Don't even bother focusing on larger trades.
Well, then how are you going to make any money with
this? Ah, because you don't want to make any money. That's Ion's message. He's been temporarily fooling you with this great carrot. Wow, you can make that in 15 minutes. He's seducing you.
But that can happen anyway. You could get even more money if you could accurately correct what the relative humidity is going to be in 7 days. Farmers would love you.
Well, this isn't, but...
Are you in this to make money? If you're in this to make money, Nelson, it's not going to work. Ion teaches, if you listen to other Ion stuff, buy some recordings, you find out that if you intend to get something like that, you won't get it. You're trying too hard.
You'll have to shift your vibration to allow it. You'll have to set your vibration.
Yeah.
You'll have to be in that vibrational proximity. Just like you are in much closer a vibrational proximity of getting this formula than you did when you started. Regardless of the motivation, but you can't get stuck there. Because if you get stuck there, then what happens? It becomes a loop. And then if you pull the sine and the cosine from stuckness, it'll always end up flat. So the same carrot that we dangled before, we're dangling in your progression of ascension, Nelson. That's cool.
Well, one second. Let me ask you this. This does work.
Certainly.
And this isn't some, I mean, I hate to use the word joke, but it's not like this is based on the math, this works. I mean, if I have the math down and the concept down, then I don't understand why my emotions or whatever state towards it would affect it.
Well, then you don't understand ION, because ION says that's the big deal.
It wouldn't. But then you'd have to come back to where Bob was an hour ago, where we would have to give you a formula to let you know so you could calculate how you're going to feel when you apply this bit of knowing that works. That's the part that isn't calculated, is how you feel. That's what Bob was trying to make it be sensory, vibrations as sensory. He was actually getting somewhere, but he didn't know it, and it's a good thing because he hits more home runs that way than most. but the shift of it is, it's perfectly fine to know. It's perfectly fine to apply. But in the vibrational convergence, that's what we're talking about here, the same thing applies as for your desires. We'd say you don't have to do any of this. You could just intend that much money to come to you, and it will. And if you wanted to use this to do that, fabulous. If it's the fastest path to your joy, which so far apparently it is, wonderful. But if you make it be about the money may not be enough. That's the point. Because it's
Nelson,
to confuse power with authority.
I'm not, like, as I think of this, I'm not thinking in my head just cha-ching about the money. Like, it's not... I mean, I
great.
Don't,
then,
I'm
then,
not
then you shouldn't have a problem not validating your value by how many monies that you got.
Well, this this started based on you stating that at 12 o'clock you could do this, and it basically
yep.
hyping the. Now,
it's not a hype.
Like,
it is.
Not,
that's not a hype. That is.
Exactly. So, Bob, why? Why are you saying it's a lure? Like, I don't understand. What do you know, Bob, that you're making that statement that I don't know?
I don't know.
Well, that's not good either.
All hail Bob.
You did. Nelson goes, that's not good either. So I got two strokes against me.
No. It's absolutely fun, fine. All Bob is pointing out is to make sure that it is indeed, with anything that you do, make sure that it's the fastest path to your joy before you engage it. That's all he's saying, really, really, really. And
so,
if money's going to flow freely and easily to you, then it is. And that's as good a way as any way. Okay, we don't care. Tear it up. But if you're basing on this is going to make me feel better, that's where Bob's sensory thing's coming in, which it may or may not.
This isn't going to make – you know what's going to make me feel better? Sitting in a recording studio working with a smile on my face without having to think of this. You know? Not
good.
This. Like, this doesn't – like, if I can do this, this in itself doesn't get me – there's a whole –
Well, then
the
that
problem,
means you shouldn't be doing this. You're supposed
problem,
to be doing what you feel
problem,
joy at.
The problem, well, the problem, the problem with that statement, there was no problem with that statement except for one thing, the if clause. See, the if is what bites it in the butt. So, and you can clean that up in about 1 second. It's no problem. Now you got the bigger picture. You can figure it out. It's fun. Play with it for the fun of playing with it. prove it in a historical point of reference, then if you'd like to engage and play with it a little bit more and put a little money here and there, whatever, whatever, and watch it unfold, wonderful, no problem. Then what you'll find is that this made you real, real, real happy, or this made you not so happy, whatever, whatever. And then just like your shampoo bottle says, get yourself in a lather, rinse, and repeat. Okay? Just don't go at it from, once I get $1 billion, then I'll finally be happy.
No, I'm
because
not.
Then it
not
may not be enough.
That's
well,
not my
or,
perspective on it.
Good. I mean, we know, but that's what Bob was trying to say, that
okay.
None of this
just,
is absolutely required for anything. Good.
Okay.
We agree.
Because I just wanted to make sure Bob wasn't saying that you were saying something that was purposely taking me off the right focus.
Well, the right focus, is that very close to the left focus?
No, but I mean the right focus in the sense of the best time frame to be taking
that's
trade.
That's up to you. That's
to
the fastest path to your joy. That's up to you. That's the point. You adjust and set that like you please. Speed of rapidity is up to you.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so we've got, I'd like to work, I don't want to work in the context of some, like, uncertainty. Like, I don't know what Bob's talking about.
Bob doesn't know what Bob's talking about, but he damn sure will make you think.
Well, I know, he sure does. But okay, so now I've got the intersection points, okay? All right, so the intersection points will be all one number, correct? Like, I mean, they will intersect multiple times, but...
They will intersect multiple times, and that phase, which is what you're calculating, if the ones that fall inside the triangle, those are the ones that are significant.
Okay, now when you say fall inside the triangle, how will they
when
fall
you plot
inside
them
the triangle?
On the graph, when you plot them on the graph, they'll either be inside the ABC triangle or they won't. And
okay,
if they are, then they do.
How will they be inside the triangle if you're just graphing one number?
You're not. Well, you're graphing the sine and the cosine of one number. And those two wavelengths will intersect at some point. And
Will be an X and a Y coordinate.
Well, yes. And then you plot that on your graph paper. And if none of them intersect within the triangle, then that's going to tell you that it's going to be flat. Your calculation is that A2 will be the same as A1 in the future experience. And that's good to know in and of itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, so once you've added those new points based on where the intersection points onto the graph, if they land in the triangle, what's the next step?
Then, like we said, you multiply them times themselves.
Okay, so so multiply those intersection points by themselves.
Yeah, multiply them by themselves, to themselves, yes. And you'll get a great big number, okay? Then you divide by the number of intersecting points that there are from the AB tangent to the B1A1 tangent. So
let me just step back a second.
Okay.
I just need to clarify. So you multiply the intersection points by each other. So if there's three that fall in the triangle, you would go 1 × 2 × 3. Like
that's
you
correct.
Times them by each other.
Yes.
Okay, so not by themselves. You times
right.
them all by each other.
Correct. And you get a great big number, regardless of whatever that number is.
Yep.
Okay? Then you divide by the number of repetition intersecting points from the AB tangent to the B1A1 tangent. So if it repeats 20 times... You divide that big multiplied number by 20.
Okay, repeat that again.
If you have whatever your value is that you're multiplying times 1 times 2 times 3, or it could be 20 times. It just depends on what value you get, you see.
Yeah.
All right. Whenever how many points it is, that's a number of all those points inside the triangle.
Okay.
Then you look at the same where you plotted to find out if they were inside or outside the triangle. You had to plot it all the way to the other tangent. So the number of times that they intersect between the two tangents, regardless if they're inside or outside the triangle. This is the sign, the wavelength phase intersection. Okay, you count the number of times that that those sine cosine waves intersect in total. And if that's 20 times.
So you're finding an average, kind of.
Well, it's not.
Okay,
really
that's it. It's been an hour and a half. I gave you 30 more seconds, Nelson.
Okay. Quick. The number of times that the sine cosine intersects between the two tangents, you divide the multiplied value of the inside the triangle points and divide it by that many intersections. And when you do that, you do get that value. And then do that with B, and then do minus sine minus cosine of C. And that's where you've gotten so far.
Okay, and then what's left?
Well, we would say plotting those points in the small triangle and dividing by the Maybank rate.
Okay.
And that's not every bit of it, but that's enough for you to play with to set your new points. And when you set your new points, then you're going to go, oh, my God, this was very, very close. And then you'll ask how to tweak that a bit here and there. Okay?
Okay.
And that little bit of tweaking is what will get you there. And you can absolutely figure it out by giving it intention and playing with it.
Bob, I just want to ask a question from my mom. It's going to take you a second. What can I recommend for my grandmother for her macular degeneration?
Does she want to get over it?
Yeah.
RNA drops.
Okay. I'll get those from I'll order those from the site, Bob.
Yeah, you know about them?
Three. Now listen, for her, 3 a day, BID.
3 drops a day, twice a day.
And they're taken orally?
Yeah.
Under the tongue.
Sublingually. Under the
tongue. I don't know what the sublingually is. It's under the tongue.
Under the tongue. That's sublingual.
Okay. Sublingually. Oh, what you use to speak.
Under the tongue. Why say this nonsense syllable sublingually?
Because that's sublingually.
It's under the tongue. Real simple. We all know what a tongue is.
Well, great. What if she doesn't have a tongue? She can't take it then.
Well, then where do you put it then?
It's sublingually.
Bottom of the mouth, Ion. You just put it at the bottom of the mouth, okay? Not sublingually. Okay, under the tongue. Okay, there it is.
So I'm going to work through that stuff.
Now, play with that, and what she'll notice is that her eyes will water a little bit more than they were.
Uh-huh.
And then as she does that, and that flow starts to take place, she'll start noticing that in about a month, that it will cease getting worse, and then she'll become more sensitive to light, which is actually what it is it's doing is it's closing down in on her, and so she'll become more sensitive to light. Well, that'll be contrasting because she's getting used to going blind, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So get you some Ray-Bans, baby. Get some really cool aviators or something. She'll enjoy those for about a month. or so, and then all of a sudden, as she equals that, maybe bright sunshine might be a bit sensitive, but she can absolutely start noticing the difference relatively quickly. Now, ever how long it took her to catch macular degeneration, you can tell her that's how long it'll take to get over it.
Okay.
But as long as it's day by day getting better, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very,
all right.
Very
well,
good.
I'm going to work on the graphing and the plotting of this stuff, and I'll speak to you soon.
Let me just say, Nelson, what did I just mean there? How she's doing every day, who the fuck cares? I mean, that's what she wants, to get over, to have a better day.
Yeah.
No.
Basically,
no,
as long as
she... So let's find out what Ion means.
He means as long as
No. Let's hear. He's just about to speak to us.
If it took her two years to suffer with macular degeneration, it's going to take her at least 2 years to get over it.
Yes.
But she's going to have pain for the next... Whatever the problem is, will be there for another 2 years.
Macular degeneration is not painful. Macular degeneration is a slow, progressive tunnel blindness.
Yes.
Okay, what's going to happen during the 2 years while she's waiting to get to the magical point 2 years from now?
It will progressively daily improve.
Okay, very slight improvements, but it's at least 2 years of improvements.
Well, if that's how long it took her to get it, but she's hard-headed. She could do it overnight, but she ain't having that. She likes the long, slow, plodable path.
Yeah, either way, she's putting these 3 drops twice a day. That's the focus.
Mm-hmm. And that
and she should notice something, but it's so very tiny. But, I mean, what if she doesn't
think she noticed
anything after a month?
She'll notice. Then she should go to her damn eye doctor and let her eye doctor tell her, because she ain't believing nobody else. So why should she believe herself?
Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding.
Well,
so that way, with a little bit of that, she won't have to order her a seeing eye dog.
No, exactly.
Very good. Therefore, we are totally, completely, deliciously forever Nathan Tattersley.